You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, December 6th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. Wrapping up the work week. That's right. We're back in force with the Daily Nationalist. I know y'all barely missed Dr. Johnson's Thursday Daily Nationalist show yesterday. He wasn't here. Dr. Johnson is out of pocket for just a bit. He will be back. He's taking care of his own stuff. He has told all regular listeners to his show he's had stuff going on. So we look forward to when he gets that wrapped up and he's back with. He will be back. So bear with us. I know it's tough. You just got to deal with GPD in the meantime. I will try to have as much fun and entertainment as we always do. In the meantime, so I do appreciate you sticking with it. This has been my want as of late. We're just looking at various news stories. I'm not even going to look at any particular articles today. Just different things, different topics that have been in the news. The news cycle for this past week. Now, one of the number one things that's, of course, been in the news cycle is this assassination of the CEO for United Healthcare. And of course, I'm sure all of you have been keeping up with that. And I'm not really going to get into some of the technicalities of this, but I thought it'd be more interesting to kind of discuss the broader view of it. Now, you know, there's all this speculation. For starters, there's all this speculation. You know, I've seen people on the internet arguing over what kind of gun was used. Like, that's super duper relevant. Whether this was a professional hit. It's one of the theories that people have been floating around. You know, this was a paid, trained assassination. The Russians did it. Somebody did. It's a state actor assassination. I myself, from what I've seen, I don't believe that to be the case. Because I believe that one of the reasons that gets floated out there is because the reality is much more frightening. In other words, to say, well, this was a professional hit done by a paid assassin. Again, I don't believe that's true. I think the reality, I mean, obviously the shooter is white. So we can see that. And, you know, but there's aspects of this you look at and it's like, well, that's, you know, a professional assassin would be much more careful than that. You know, would not be doing certain things. But they still haven't caught this guy. Now, this is just, to me, I think this is one of the things that frightens the system, is this is an example of what a single white man with just a nominal amount of planning and common sense is able to pull off. I mean, they may eventually catch this guy, but they haven't done it yet. They don't even know who he is yet. And it's coming out that, you know, obviously he made some errors that a trained professional assassin would not have made. This is just what careful planning by a single white guy. And that scares the system as it continues to lose legitimacy. If people realize it's not some paid professional assassin, but instead, this is just what one guy using a little common sense and, again, some planning is able to pull off. They want people to start thinking that they could pull that off as well. Now, why would anybody want to do that? This gets into what I actually wanted to get into, which is more of a broader discussion about looking at the implications of people's reaction to this. You know, going around, cruising around different places on the internet and just listening and reading what different people have to say. This guy gets killed, this CEO. And it has a broad, just painting with a bit of a broad brush here. Nobody gives a shit. In fact, it's almost like among the people in general, there's a, yeah, LOL, so what? almost like a, well, he probably deserved it. I'm not saying he did. You just see this reaction. There's this disconnect once again between the reaction of the people, quote unquote, just people in general, regular people, and the way the media has reacted. I want to get into the media reaction here in just a few minutes, because once again, it just shows their utter hypocrisy and, you know, how they're just full of it all the way around. But people in general don't care. I mean, people are outraged that this guy got killed. I think people have really, you know, the system, you know, and the lack of legitimacy thereof. These CEOs, and because these corporations obviously are a huge part of the system. Dr. Johnson uses the term the regime, if you prefer that. But the system, these corporations are an intricate part. And you look at these CEOs. You know, and here's a guy, he's CEO of one of these health insurance companies, which are just, they're just ridiculous. Hey, those of you who don't live in the U.S., you know, I've talked about the U.S. healthcare system on multiple occasions. But if you don't live here, you don't really realize how ridiculous our healthcare system is. It's utterly ridiculous. You have Obamacare, you know, for people that can't afford health insurance, which is virtually everybody unless they have a job that provides health insurance. And even at that, they're not getting higher wages because it's all going into, it's all being funneled to these insurance companies. If you look at, for instance, the Obamacare, you know, they're having open enrollment right now. Anybody, if you want to go on there, if you live in the U.S., you've never, go on there. Go on the healthcare.gov. You know, because, I mean, you can go through the process, but unless you actually pick a plan, you're not signing up for anything. And yeah, you have to create an account and all that. I encourage you to, if you've never done it, if you live here in the U.S. or whatever, and you've never done it, go through the process. And you'll realize real quick, the whole thing is a scam, as like everything else. It's a money laundering. It's a money payoff scam. They dress it up like they're doing this big giveaway to the people. But when you look at it, it's a money scam funneling money to these health insurance companies. The average policy, for instance, on the healthcare.gov for the Obamacare, you know, if you qualify, you get the, you, quote unquote, get a tax credit to cover the cost of the insurance premiums. So you don't have to pay anything. Isn't that great? But you look at it and they're paying, say, roughly $900 a month on your behalf. Now, if you don't sign up for the insurance, you don't get the tax credit. You see, if it was an actual tax credit, you would qualify for it regardless. But you see, you don't. If you sign up for it, you get the tax credit. If you don't sign up for it, the tax credit doesn't exist. Kind of a strange thing, isn't it? So if you sign up for it, the same roughly, I'm just going to use a round number, $900 a month is paid by the government on your behalf to these insurance, these health insurance companies. You don't pay anything if you're poor enough. They pay $900 a month to these health insurance companies. They get it. And these plans have ridiculous deductibles, like $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 deductibles. So the health insurance company receives roughly $900 a month from the government. And for the vast majority of people, they're never going to have to pay out because you're never going to reach that deductible unless you wind up in the hospital or something. How is this not just an amazing money scam for the health insurance companies? They get $900 a month from who knows how many people. I've never seen any actual statistics how many exactly are going in, but you do the math. Millions and millions, probably billions of dollars are funneled from the government straight to these health insurance cartels on your behalf. And for the vast majority of people, the health insurance companies never have to pay out. They're just raking in the money. Now, I saw a deal recently about United Healthcare, which is the corporation that this guy was running. And they're one of the highest, if not the highest, in denying claims. So people pay all this money in, the government, or if you're having to pay for it, you know, through your employer, because very few employers cover 100%. You're usually having to kick in some. You're paying all this money out, and then you pay all this money on deductibles, and then they deny your claim. So they still don't have to pay out. And the CEOs, of course, rake in millions of dollars. And it's not just the health insurance companies. This whole structure, the way these corporations, don't even get me started on corporations, the way these things are structured is so ludicrous and so ridiculous. All of these things. Recently, the CEO of Stellantis, which owns Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and a bunch of European brands as well, he's basically resigning, which means he's being forced out because their stock price has plummeted like 50% in the last 6 months. So he's being forced out, but I think he's taking, if I remember right, he's getting like $100 million to leave. Now you imagine you're hired. Let's say you were hired. They're going to pay you, I don't know, $50,000 a year, whatever. They're going to pay you to manage a McDonald's, a McDonald's. And in you're there as the manager of McDonald's, and you manage to run McDonald's into the ground. This McDonald's that you're managing, this one single little fast food shithole that you're managing, you run it into the ground to where they may have to close the store. Finally, they come around and say, this isn't working out. We're going to cut you loose. But here's $100,000 for your trouble. Thank you very much. And it's always this way. When they run one of these CEOs off, they call it the golden parachute. They give them millions and millions of dollars for doing a shitty job, for running the corporation into the ground. Now, I remember on a previous occasion, I don't remember particularly which one it was, but it was another one of these occasions where they fire a CEO. They always call it resigning, but they fire them. Give them millions of dollars to be fired. And I remember reading an article, and they actually posed the question, well, why do these guys get all this money when you're essentially firing them? And the answer was, well, if we don't pay them all this money, we won't be able to attract quality CEO candidates. You see, we have to go appeal to these other CEO candidates, and we have to be able to offer them these very attractive financial, otherwise we won't get the best people. The best people. Like the last asshole that just ran the corporation into the ground, losing you billions and billions of dollars. Yet we got to get another guy like him, and we won't be able to get another guy like him unless the guy we're running off, we give him $100 million so that the next guy coming in understands that even if he does a shit job and runs the corporation into the ground, he's going to get rewarded with hundreds of millions of dollars. And then you have a story like this where the CEO of this, one of the most unpopular things, which is health insurance corporations, gets gunned down. And the average reaction of the average man on the street is the son of a bitch probably deserved it. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing more or less the reaction you see. I'm not saying he deserved it, but that's more or less the reaction. No one, and what I'm saying is no one cares. The media cares about it. We're going to get into that again. We're going to get into that here in a minute. But generally speaking, people don't care. They kind of feel like, man, that's what he gets. Now, the media, on the other hand, of course, on the one hand, it's a sensational story. You know, they love anything that they can play off like the equivalent of a TV show. But the media, the hypocrisy of it. Because you see, these people, they're very virtuous people, these journalists, these news media people. They're very virtuous people. They would be the first to lecture you, tell you that everybody's equal, that they view everybody through the lens of equality because they're such highly virtuous people. But yet, you observe them and they're falling all over themselves over this guy getting killed. If this was just some rando gunned down in the streets in New York City, which is a fairly common occurrence, I'm sure, it wouldn't be national news. Why is it national news? Well, because this guy, he's extra important. The same people who will virtue signal to you about how much they care about everybody, they view everybody through equality. You know, Tyrone Jackson that got killed in the drive-by the night before, he didn't make it national news, is he? They don't care. They want to tell you they do, but it ain't national news. But this guy's national news, see, because he's somebody important. He's the CEO of a multi-million, probably billion-dollar, whatever the hell, corporation. So, see, that makes him one of the important people. That makes it newsworthy. If this was just some random guy gunned down in New York City, again, not like that's a rare occurrence, does anybody think that they would be pouring the resources in to catch the culprit? If this was Trevarius Jackson killed, you know, on the streets in Harlem, do you think they're going to be calling in the FBI or whoever all they're calling in? You know, utilizing all these resources and tools and manpowers to track the killer down. And yet these same people will sit there and virtue signal about how they, boy, they're the good people. They care so much about everybody. They view everybody equally when obviously, observably, they don't. The system doesn't. The system itself views someone like this as somebody important. While you, me, or Trevarius Jackson were not so important. At best, you're going to get the police show up and maybe file a report somewhere. And that's it. So much of this, too. And you watch them. They're trying to find this guy. And they may or may not, because they're pouring enough resources into it. The longer it goes, the less likely they're going to actually catch this guy. And even if they catch him, because I saw this morning they're saying, oh, well, you know, they caught somebody on camera with their face showing, and they're sure it's this guy. There's no way to prove it's this guy. If they find him, since they have a picture with a face, this is this guy. And they drag him in. If this guy can keep his mouth shut, they can't prove it's him. I mean, unless he has the gun on him, they're not going to be able to prove that's him. You know, the media's all excited. Well, they've released a picture of a person of interest. They think this is the guy. And if they track that person down and drag him in, if he sits there with his mouth shut and doesn't say anything, as in don't sit there and make up a story, don't sit there and make an excuse, don't sit there and claim you were somewhere else so it couldn't have been you, just don't say anything. If he's able to do that, they ain't going to have nothing. This guy stopped at a Starbucks. And again, this may be the guy. It may not. I have no idea. But they're claiming the guy stopped at a Starbucks. This, again, if it is the guy, proves that the whole it's a paid assassin thing is ridiculous. And they found his coffee cup. And they're swabbing it for fingerprints, whatever they can get. DNA, if there's DNA, I don't know. Again, all that's going to prove is, well, this is the guy that was at Starbucks. That has nothing to prove that that was the guy that did the shooting. One of the whole tenets of this system that holds it up is TV and the narratives from TV. And what I mean is they put out these shows, you know, all these FBI shows, the CSI shows. I don't know if those are still popular. You know, the CSI, they had CSI, CSI, whatever. NCIS, all those shows where they show them do all this, you know, they're going through a crime scene with a pair of tweezers and they find a single hair and that single hair leads them to a rare breed of dog and the only person who has that breed of dog is the killer. They don't do that shit. Not real. Well, I mean, they may for this something akin to that for this guy, but for you or me, they ain't doing that shit. But you see, they give that narrative. It's reminiscent of how in the Soviet Union, they didn't have all these spies necessarily. They just had to convince everybody they did. So everybody was scared to say anything because there could be a spy listening in. They just had to create the idea that anybody could be a spy ready to snitch you out to the government. These shows serve the same purpose. They give this narrative that they have all of this capability to track you down. They could find a single hair and track you down. So that people think, oh my gosh, they could track me down. So they create that narrative. It'll be interesting to see what comes of this. Now that they're claiming they have a person of interest, if they do find this guy, and assuming they will, and they drag him in, it'll be interesting what happens then, because they got nothing. Unless he has the gun on him, There's nothing. If he keeps his mouth shut, you know, this is just observation again, but I'm not defending the killer here, but this is observation. If he keeps his mouth shut, they got nothing. Life, real life is not a TV show. You know, talking about those CSI shows and stuff like that. You know, like if you have something, like if you have something stolen and burglarized, you know, if you've got some property and then someone breaks into the house and you call the police, I'm going to tell you something. They ain't going to dust for no fingerprint. You'll be like, are you going to take fingerprints? They don't. I'm going to go ahead and give you some spoilers. They won't even look for fingerprints. You call your local cops out and you say, you know, I have this property out here. And while I was away, someone broke into the house. And you're expecting them to get the fingerprint kit out. You know, start trying to crack the caper. They don't. I'm going to tell you right now. They don't. They don't bother. They're going to write out a report and go sit back at the station drinking coffee, eating donuts, and file the report. That's all you get. Now, if you're the CEO of United Healthcare and your house gets broke into, that's a different story. They break it. All the while, these people preach to us about how they love the equality of view. Everybody's so equal under the democracy system. That's why nobody cares. Everybody knows it ain't equal. Anybody that's had the police show up and barely, you know, 2 hours later and, you know, don't even care. They file a report, disinterested, file a report, and it's done. I remember a story from years and years ago. Someone had some stuff stolen. Same thing. They called the cops. Cops don't even do no fingerprints. They don't do nothing. They file a report and tell them you're never going to find your stuff. And they start calling up the detectives. The detectives. They expecting they're going to get something like Dragnet or some shit. Yeah, well, we ain't got no closer to finding your stuff. We don't know nothing about it. And this person went out and just started hitting the pawn shops. And like on day two, they found all their stuff in the pawn shop. And they had to call the detectives to come down there and said, there's my stuff. And of course, the detectives were mad at them. You're interfering in police work. Yeah, your police work. By solving your own crime because they're too damn lazy to, because you don't matter. If you're the CEO of a, that's why nobody gives a shit that this guy got killed. I'm sure his family does. Again, I'm not belittling a death here, but let's be honest. The vast majority of people could care less because they know if it was you, me, they don't care. But it's this guy, all of a sudden, there's a whole nother, the whole system goes into high gear to track down the killer. Other things in the news. Another big thing in the news is they're trying to do a color revolution. Well, you got the Syria thing at the same time. It's just the same pattern, isn't it? Insert the meme of it's all so tiring. It's all so tiresome. That's my face right now. It's all so tiresome. They just do the same playbook. They've activated their wind-up terrorist proxies in Syria. They did this stupid Kursk invasion, the Ukraine. You know, that was to try to divert Russian resources over there from the front lines that were collapsing. And that didn't work. So now they've activated their terrorist cells. We all know these terrorist groups are CIA, Mossad, and all the rest. They're all state-sponsored. We all know this. I mean, that's not even, I don't even think it's, I guess it would be called controversial by the media, but nobody else hears that. I mean, everybody literally knows this. Even the common people understand that these terrorists, and you got to love how they keep rebranding them. They keep giving them different names. I remember when ISIS, and then it was ISIL, then it was ISIS-K, and then it was, I don't even remember the stupid new marketing acronym, a well-researched marketing acronym they've come up for this latest terrorists. They're all proxies for the U.S. and Israel, basically. That's what we're talking about. And again, this is another attempt to make Russia divert resources, topple Syria. It's still on their list. They want to topple Syria. Remember the whole, they had the list of seven countries they wanted to bring down and all of that. And obviously, they just keep doing the same thing. So you got that going on. And then they're trying to do the color revolution in Georgia, which is interesting because I'm curious to see how it works. everybody's kind of curious to see if they pull it off. This is the same Color Revolution playbook. And what really strikes me about this is Georgia, the country, obviously, not the state here in America. Georgia is another interesting example of fence sitters thinking they can fence sit. You know, this Georgia Dream Party, the party that's being targeted by the West, you know, they're not pro-Russia. They're trying to be just, you know, we're just pro our own country. We're not pro-Russia, but we don't want to suck up to the EU and America either. It's another classic example. Serbia is another one where they're trying to do this whole fence sitting routine. Look, it's a world war. It's a hybrid world war. It's not, you know, World War II on another scale type of thing. It's being fought in a different way. Everybody in the world, you look at all these countries. You got countries in South America and they're having to pick a side. You're going to take side BRICS or you're going to go side Global Homo. You got to choose a side. One way or the other. And yet, you know, I mean, good night. Mexico just elected a Jewish woman to be their president and nobody finds that strange. You got to pick a side. And these countries that sit here and try to do this fence-sitting routine, like we're going to be independent, you ain't big enough to be independent. That's a sad reality. You ain't big enough to be independent, and you're going to have to pick a side. If you would just pick a side, you would be okay, you know? If you pick a side, if they picked, okay, we're going to side with Russia, which would make the most sense because just your geographical location. You know, just like it makes sense that Mexico is going to pick Team Global Homo because they're right next to America, you would think Georgia would just naturally say, well, we're going to pick Team Russia. And then they would have help. But no, they're trying to be fence sitters. They're trying to be clever. We're not going to be a part. We're going to play both sides. See, we're going to still talk about being a part of the EU because we want to do trade and maybe get some free money. But we don't want to be Global Homo. It don't work. So now you have this ridiculous system in Georgia. And their woman president is, she's French. she just got citizenship just years ago. And somehow she's the president now. She's saying she's not going to leave, which is hilarious considering all of the hysteria when Donald, you know, back when, you know, in 2020 with Trump. But the U.S. says, yes, she's the freedom fighter for the democracy values of who we are. And these French sitters, she's the French sitter. I keep mispronouncing and it keeps getting funnier. These fence sitters are just like they're obviously behind the curve because they're trying to fence sit. You know, the way they need to handle this is they should have immediately shut down all social media. Now, this is all in reaction to their law they passed, by the way, forcing these foreign-funded NGOs to reveal their foreign funding. Strange. People on the streets are out in the street mad because foreigners influencing their government have to reveal that they're influencing their government. I saw a story recently that claimed, I don't know how accurate it is, they claimed like up to a third of the people the police could identify as these protesters were all from somewhere else. And I don't mean like a different town. I mean like from the UK, America, some of them from Russia. Odd, isn't it? But you see, because the ruling party, the majority party in this country is sitting there dicking around trying to be fence sitters, they're not doing what they need to do. Shut down the social media immediately. Track down the leaders of this and brutally arrest them. Look what Belarus did. Look, this is why you have to have a strong central leader to counter this stuff. Lukashenko went in and, oh yeah, all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the people that were trying to run this color revolution are fleeing the country. Remember that ridiculous woman that claimed she was the actual president of Belarus and she fled to some other country because she got like 20 votes or some shit. Remember that? And then she's over there in Poland or something talking about, I'm the real leader of Belarus. That's what you got to do. It's obvious what you got to do. You got to shut it down. You got to shut it down. You got to shut down the social media. You're going to shut down the internet. You got to round up. You got to round up these people and start putting them in a dark prison somewhere. They're overthrowing. They're trying to overthrow your government. They're trying to overthrow your country. This isn't January 6th people taking a tour of the Capitol. These are actual. And you have the French woman there who says she's not going to leave office. And she's calling on everybody to get out in the streets and topple the government. And she's French. Regardless of what piece of paper she has, she's French. It's like Zelensky isn't Ukrainian. And it's all just supposed to seem perfectly normal in the democracy values of who we are. These people trying to run these countries, they're going to have to get it through their head. Look, you're going to have to pick a side. If they had already, if they came out and said, yes, we're Team Moscow, they would have resources. They would have people come in and help them do what needs to be done. But they're sitting there trying to be coy. Oh, we're not pro-Russia at all. Well, Russia's not going to help you then. When you're a little country, look, when you're a little country, you got to have a big country backing you up at times like this. The only time it works, if somebody could point out historical exceptions to that, the only time that doesn't work where you can maintain some independence is when both sides have a certain amount, you know, both of the big opposing sides have a certain amount of equilibrium and you're just not worth them risking toppling that equilibrium, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, if you went in and tried to topple this government, well, the blowback could be more than what the payoff so as to be, you know, so as to speak. It's easier to ignore you. That's the only time that works. And those are fairly pretty much what I want to say, exceptions to the rule. For the most part, if you're a little country and you're in the middle, especially if you're strategically in the middle of a conflict between two much larger powers, you better pick a side. And the sooner the better. The sooner the better. You need to pick a side. Because if you sit there and try to fence it, you're going to wind up with stuff like they've got going on in Georgia right now. And I read about this stuff, and the ruling party there in Georgia, they don't have a clue. I'm sorry. They don't. They don't have a clue what to do. Otherwise, they had already done it. This French woman should already be sitting in a prison cell somewhere. And they should be sending their elite units in, cracking heads of whoever's funding and heading up these organized protests, these NGOs. And the rest of them would be fleeing the country. Oh, yes, the media is going to call you names and claim you this and claim you that, but you're going to keep your government. And they're not doing that. They're sitting there talking, you know, they're doing the media thing, making accusations about the French woman. But she's already said that when her term officially expires this month, she ain't leaving. What are they planning to do? I haven't seen anything. You know, they're not saying, well, if she don't leave, which you shouldn't even be broadcasting that anyway. They should have done rounded her ass up for sedition. They should have revoked her citizenship, put her in a prison, and eventually they can kick her ass onto a plane and send her back to France. And they're not doing it. Because they're trying to front sit. They're trying to peep coy. They're trying to act like, oh, we're trying to prove what to the media? Look, the media is already arrayed against you. You know, Western media in particular, they've already set the narrative. This is like when individual people here living in the global homo world, you know, when some reporter comes up or some journalist contacts you and says, I'm writing a story about you and I would like to get your side. No, they don't. They've already written the narrative. They're just looking for some quotes. There ain't nothing you can say that makes them change that narrative. It's the same way with these countries. The Western media has already set up the narrative. The French woman is the pinnacle of democracy values of who we are. These are freedom-loving protesters trying to stop tyranny and protect the democracy. Who the hell is Georgia Dream Party trying to appeal to? They're not going to change the narrative. They're going to call you despotic dictators who hate democracy and Russian puppets no matter what you do, so you might as well do what got to be done. Round up the French woman, throw her in a jail cell, eventually put her on a plane and kick her ass back to France where she belongs, where she came from. Round up the head of these NGOs that are organizing this protest, lock their bank accounts. Well, they don't have no, the defenders of democracy don't have a problem locking down dissidents' bank accounts. freeze their funds, they'll flee the country, and order will be restored. Yeah, they're going to call you names. They're going to do that anyway. They've already written the narrative, but they're not. They're sitting there fence-sitting, trying to look reasonable. And they're going to dick around and lose their country. And, of course, all of this is to cause more problems for Russia. You've got to pick a side. It's obvious why it's happening. And yet, the people in the middle of the turmoil are clueless. They're clueless how to deal with it. I can see how to deal with it. You can see how to deal. Why can't these people? I think maybe this is reflective of how so many people in these former Eastern Bloc countries, you know, these former Soviet countries, are still like generationally traumatized or indoctrinated with America good and, you know, the old Soviet Union, which is gone now, bad, which it was bad. I'm not saying it wasn't, but it's gone now. But they still can't seem to, like, let go of that generational trauma to deal with the new reality of what they're dealing with. America, you know, Ronald Reagan famously called the Soviet Union the evil empire. Well, America, the Soviet Union's gone and America's taken its place. America's the new evil empire. And these people can't seem to deal with that reality. It's so strange watching these people who should be rational people not be able to deal with reality. And they wind up like this case. They're sitting there trying to have it both ways. They're trying to show the world that we're just trying to be in it. Look, it doesn't matter. The media has already framed the narrative. That isn't going to change. Isn't going to change. They're not going to suddenly start writing stories about, you know, actually the Georgia Marine Party is just trying to be independent. That'll be the next story in the New York Post, right? And the New York Times is going to write a big story. Washington Post, New York Times is going to write a big story about, we relooked at this and actually we were wrong. They're not going to do that. So you might as well just bite the bullet. Look, you're either going to have to, you're going to have to do what you're going to do, or you might as well just let them have it. There's no sense in prolonging the conflict. If you're there, it's obvious what's got to be done. If you're going to stay in power, if you're going to defend your country, you need to round up the French woman and at the very least kick her out of the country. You're going to have to round up these foreigners who are inciting, trying to topple your government, you know, and you're going to have to use a heavy hand to do it. That just, when you got people violently in the streets setting fires and all the rest of it, you know, the heavy handedness is already happening. You're either going to do that or you might as well just surrender the whole thing to the West. Let the French woman run it then, which is just, she ain't going to run anything. It'll just be another Ukraine 2.0. You just need to go ahead and surrender. There's no sense in dragging this out. You're either going to do what's got to be done or you're not. Simple as. You know, make the choice already. Sit there dithering. Sad. Very sad to see. We'll watch and see how that plays out. It's interesting. I'm curious to see how it plays out. As it's playing out right now, I don't hold a lot of hope for the Georgia Dream Party people. I think they mean well. I do. They're trying to maintain independence. That's why they passed that law about foreign agents having to register, which how anyone could be outraged about that, I don't know. I wish them well. But the way things stand right now, I'm not holding out a lot of hope because I don't see any sign that they're willing to take the steps that are going to be required. Because this is going to go one way or the other. They're going to lose control of the government and the country, and it'll be Ukraine 2.0, or they're going to do what has to be done and get called names by the global media and condemned by the U.S. and stay in power. That's the two choices. We'll have to watch and see how it turns out. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me. I hope you enjoy. Hope you have the weekend off. Hope you enjoy it. I'll be back on Monday for Daily Mail Mondays. I'm having fun with that. I'll be back on Monday. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.